The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We began a series of programs dealing with the general subject of objections to evolution, general objections, not specific ones, not objections to a specific theory, and have noted several of those objections and have attempted to produce quotes primarily from evolutionists who are simply admitting the truth of the objections themselves. And the last one we were talking about, we had been looking at the idea that there is a lack of intermediate species. It might be well to stop here for a moment and make a comment about something that we will spend some time on when we go to the subject of fossils itself and look at the fossil record and attempt to determine whether the fossil record presents persuasive evidence in support of evolution or whether it is more helpful in understanding creation. But there are three phrases that you will hear regularly. The phrases are intermediate species, common ancestors, and missing links. Now, the reason I mention all three of those together is that they are actually the same thing. Now, we will talk later when we get to fossils about this. The intermediate species, of course, are supposed to be those organisms that are transitional between one form of an animal and another, presumably changing from one kind of an organism to another. Common ancestors are supposed to be those organisms from which their descendants vary in a direction away from the genetic makeup, structure, morphology, etc., of the common ancestor itself. And the missing links are simply those gaps that occur between organisms where, if the evolutionists are correct, there ought to be a series of organisms which are intermediate between the two extremes. But a little reflective thought will show that these actually all are the same thing. And once that's understood, then it helps put into perspective some of the evolutionary arguments about this. Now, what I would like to do, we had gotten down in my notes to a comment that was made by Dr. George Gaylord Simpson of the American Museum of Natural History. Dr. Simpson, if memory serves me correctly, is retired now, but for a great many years he worked there at the American Museum of Natural History and was well known among evolutionists. He wrote several books, and it certainly is not hard to examine his thoughts. But let me read you his comment regarding this idea of lack of intermediate species. Quote, "Here essentially continuous transitional sequences are not merely rare, but are virtually absent. Their absence is so nearly universal that it cannot offhand be imputed entirely to chance, and does require some attempt at special explanation, as has been felt by most paleontologists. This regular absence of transitional forms is not confined to mammals, but is an almost universal phenomenon." Now, let me interrupt the quote here for a minute and help those of you that may not have a background in science understand what he's saying. He's saying that this universal phenomenon is not something rare, but it is universal, that you look any place you want to in the fossil record, and rather than finding the intermediate species, you're going to find that there is an absence of those forms. This regular absence of the transitional forms is not confined to mammals, but is an almost universal phenomenon. As has long been noted by paleontologists, it is true of almost all orders of all classes of animals, both vertebrate and invertebrate. Now, we usually consider that there are 10 major animal phyla, and each of these phyla are divided up into numbers of classes. The total number of classes would vary depending on whose zoology books you're reading, but several dozen of them. And then each of the classes would have varying number of orders. Mammalian orders, for example, will run somewhere from 20 to 40, usually, depending on whose books you're reading. But Dr. Simpson is simply saying that this is found in all of these cases, in both vertebrate and invertebrate animals. A fortiori, it is also true of the classes themselves and of the major animal phyla, and it is apparently also true of analogous categories of plants. Now, when you understand what he's saying, this is something that is, to use his word, universal in the fossil record. Now, creationists make observation of this, make a point of it, and for the most part, it is either scoffed at or rejected or ignored on the part of the evolutionist, and it's not too difficult to see why. If, in fact, there have not been intermediate species or common ancestors or missing links, if those things don't exist, there hasn't been any evolution. Now, if you are persuaded that evolution is true, these things become very, very critical. And as we'll talk about when we get to the fossils, the evolutionists bring up all sorts of rationalization about why they're not there. You can't have fossils of soft organisms, et cetera, et cetera. In each of those cases, we'll demonstrate that there are, in fact, examples of those things that they say don't exist. But the difficulty, of course, is that there is not a, well, really, there's not a single transitional sequence between primitive organism. Take horses, for example. Some organism like Eohippus, from that civet-sized animal down to modern horses, this is probably the best illustrated, the one that you will see most commonly, going from Eohippus to modern equus, modern horses. And yet, the fact is, there really is not a good transitional species there. Now, you go to many of the biology books, certainly all the geology books, I think, would have pictures of that supposed sequence. But as a matter of fact, it's just not there. And we'll deal with that idea later on. But I simply want those of you who are listening to understand, particularly those of you who are believers, to understand that there are evolutionists who have admitted candidly the difficulty of the point that is being discussed here. Now, I've had occasion previously to mention a book which I have found very, very helpful. It is a book entitled Darwin's Enigma. Unfortunately, it is now out of print. It was printed by, was written by a man by the name of Luther D. Sunderland. And the book came into existence as a result of his written and oral communication with curators of the leading museums of fossils in the world. And it was published, let's see, in 1988. I used it in some of my classes for a number of years and still find it very, very helpful. Now I want to read you a couple of sections, three perhaps, out of that book. On page 10, Mr. Sunderland is discussing some correspondence and conversation that he had had with Dr. Niles Eldridge, the curator of invertebrate paleontology at the American Museum, Dr. David Pilbeam, curator of the Peabody Museum of Natural History at Yale, Dr. David Rout, the curator of geology at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, and Dr. Colin Patterson, who was a senior paleontologist at the British Museum of Natural History. Now, these four museums each have horrendous collections of fossils, and Mr. Sunderland was trying to get from these men, who would be knowledgeable about fossils and presumably the so-called common ancestors or intermediate species or missing links. Now, let me read you a paragraph out of that book on page 10. Dr. David Rout, curator of geology at the Field Museum of Natural History in Chicago, published an article in the January 1979 issue of the museum's journal entitled Conflicts Between Darwinism and Paleontology. A rather intriguing title for an evolutionist to be writing, in which he stated that 250,000 species of plants and animals recorded and deposited in museums throughout the world did not support the gradual unfolding hoped for by Darwin. That is, the idea of gradualism, or the idea that we would see a parent produce offspring slightly different, those offspring slightly different, those offspring slightly different, and so on, until you had a completely different organism. The following April, Dr. Colin Patterson, a senior paleontologist and editor of the prestigious journal at the British Museum of Natural History, wrote in a letter to the author that he didn't know of any real evidence of evolutionary transitions either among living or fossilized organisms. Now, here is a man who was curator of a museum which probably has the largest fossil collection in the world, and he is simply saying he was not aware of any real evidence of intermediate species, either living or dead. Now, I watched a PBS program a couple of years ago now, as I recall, in which Stephen Gould made some comment. Someone had asked him a question about intermediate species, and his response was, oh, yes, there are thousands of them. Well, it's interesting that here are the curators of the largest museums of fossil collections in the world are unaware of that. And I was really disturbed that none of the creationists who responded to Dr. Gould did not take him to task about that. They let him get away with the comment, and most listeners, I think, would go away thinking, oh, yeah, sure, you got all these intermediate species. But according to these men who have spent their lives working with fossils, when their nose is held to the grindstone and one is asked, for example, can you take me out on the floor of your museum and show me a single example of an intermediate species, his response to the question is simply no. Now, this is an immensely telling admission. It is an immensely important idea for us to understand. The intermediate species are absolutely critical to the evolutionist idea, and yet, as a matter of fact, there simply are none, according to the curators of these large museums, which would make us wonder then, put us in the position of wondering, what is the basis of comments of evolutionists who claim there are, and why is there no response, no honest appraisal dealing with this particular difficulty?
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.